This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. We're the voices, insights, and ideas that are shaping the future of the service automotive aftermarket reside here. Glad to have you here. Week 320 of the Town Hall Academy, we're going to talk about going electric in California. And it doesn't mean that we're not going electric in your state or in your county or your town. But California seems to have, or at least has the greatest leaning toward the reasons of the engagement of wanting to be electric. Let me introduce my panel to you. They're all Californiaite. I don't know if that's the proper term. Shop owners extraordinaire that have supported the podcast over the years. Thank you very much. John Gustafson is here from Gustafson Brothers, Huntington Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hello.
And John Epstein, John's Automotive Care in San Diego, California.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, John. Dave Cusa, Auto Trend Diagnostics, Campbell, California. And all of you are ASCCA members. I know you've probably worked so hard building that great organization and putting up with, or at least accepting the stuff that's going on in the great state legislative. We can't seem to write enough laws every day. State of California. And I apologize if I just let that leak out by mistake. I apologize. Hey, we want to give a high five to our great sponsors here on the show. You know, okay, you quoted a job last month and the customer just said yes, but the price for parts just went up a notch. Well, when you use Shopware's native parts catalog, you simply update pricing with one click. Talk to my friends at Shopware.com and trust in the aftermarket supplier that makes the parts that your cars were born with, your customers' cars were born with. With over 100 years of OE heritage, Delphi Technologies quality parts gives you peace of mind. Learn more at DelphiAftermarket.com. Okay, everybody, let's have this wide-ranging open discussion and let our audience just sit there and take the wisdom that you guys have, or at least the perspective that you have, as the mandates that seem to be coming out of California. Every time I read something or hear something, I keep saying, wow, it is amazing how the push down seems to be pretty heavy, but you still got to have the players on the chessboard, if you will. They have to be willing to move and do things. And I wanted to hold this episode to see how these really incredible shop owners look at this thing. I would love to be able to cover in this episode, is the market going to dictate what you shop owners will do based on the number of cars that are being sold, especially in California, which has, I think, next to New York, a pretty stringent deadline, I think around 2030. There's supposed to be some miracle stuff happening in 2030. I don't know exactly. You guys may know the law better than mine. Be ahead of the curve now with EVs and hybrids. And if you're not doing it now, maybe shame on you, or maybe you're smart not to be the first in making sure we service those cars. What's our commitment to training our people? How are we going to market services for EVs? And I would also love to know, guys, have you done a survey in your business and counted the number of EV owners and the number of hybrid owners and the number of ICE owners? And will you do that once a year so that you can see where the trends in your markets are going? John, let me start with you. What do you see going on in the shop? What are your customers saying? What are your people talking about EVs?
You know, we're in coastal California, and the population of EVs and hybrids is fairly strong. And we adapt like we did with everything else as it's come along. We give our people the training and the customers give us the cars and the dealer has them for the first couple of semesters and then we inherit them after that. In mechanical, in our collision side, we've seen EVs from the beginning because they wreck them like anything else. So there's nothing special. It's just the next new thing and we just adapt as we go.
It seems to me, guys, John and Dave, that this is something like when the advent of all the other technology pieces, and you guys have been around long enough to disc brakes and HEI and all that stuff that came out and the naysayers were out there. I think we're over that. And I think we're mature enough as an industry to say we can't say nothing is going to go away and we have to open our arms and embrace it. John, the initiatives that you're doing to find training, to get training, to talk to your suppliers about the training initiatives that need to start. I mean, we got to be aware.
Yeah, absolutely. The EVs have been around longer than we probably think. You know, they kind of snuck up on us there and, you know, we're kind of past that initial, you know, phase. And so there's a lot of training that is available out there. I know Worldpac has some great training. NAPA is working on a huge training program. It's going to be a multi-week EV training put on by some amazing trainers. I was fortunate to go back to Atlanta at the beginning of the year and sit through some of their training to kind of check it out and see what it involved. And there's still a lot of information that needs to get out there, but there is a lot of training, and the manufacturers are seeing that, really, you know, providing that. So,
Dave, the message that I continue to hear, and I remember hearing Carolyn Coquelette speak, who was the last year's president of ASECA. I saw her tell the audience, it was at ASTE this past fall, please, the opportunities on EVs are there, and you need to put the shingle up that says you fix them.
Agreed. Yeah. So, in circling back a little bit to what you said, Carmen, you know, the sky is falling attitude. Yeah, I'm not really hearing that right now, like we did with the advent of onboard computer systems and fuel injection and so on and so forth, when we were never going to be fixed these cars, right? And clearly we can. So the date in California for no sales of petroleum powered vehicles is 2035. So yeah, so now's the time to start working towards it and understand it and learn it, get the equipment, get tooled up, understand the safety aspects of these vehicles so that, you know, everybody is safe. We saw this early on with hybrids, you know, when the Prius first came out, and the safety training was the first thing everybody took because it's important. We found out that you'd probably have to try hard to hurt yourself, but you don't want to come into this being ignorant. It's going to be more so with EVs because you do have a lot higher voltage potential going on there. But, you know, if you're as a shop, if you're not working on hybrids now, you need to start. You need to learn it. You need to get that training, because an EV is simply a hybrid without a gas motor for all intents and purposes. So if you understand and have the experience on the hybrid aspects, the electric side of the hybrid vehicles, EVs will just come naturally to repair, right? It's not really a concern, but my looking forward here is, what are the service opportunities on EVs going to be? There's a lot of things it doesn't have, right? There's no gas motor, no real transmission, you know, things like that, right? No real cooling system. So not a lot of service opportunity that we're used to. So we're going to have to be innovative and discover where these vehicles are going to start having problems, be ahead of that curve, and be able to offer those services as a preventative maintenance item. We'll certainly see breakdowns and wear outs, and like we do with any mechanical system. It'll be, my expectation is, more component replacement. You won't fix an electric motor. You'll take it out and put the new one in, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of electronics, a lot of programming, I think, will be in the future. They're going to change quickly as they come more to market. So yeah, it's an unknown, wide open market right now, and now's the time to start understanding it and be prepared for it.
Hey guys, we just released an episode about the future shop. Derek Kaufman was one of my guests, and he said that by 2030, the population of vehicles in operations, which will be over 300 million, but only 8% will be electrified. So with California saying in 12 years, you can't sell a petroleum-based vehicle. Isn't that what you said, Dave? Or
Yeah, 2035, yeah.
2035, which is 12 years from now. I can't help but think that there may be a change to that law based on circumstances that happen in production. And let me just ask this question about the power grid. I am not smart enough to know, but every once in a while I hear a ding in my ear about a power grid issue. And the infrastructure to build that and to fix that, I think, is an enormous hill to climb.
Yeah, and there's lots of, I say, dirty little secrets surrounding EVs, right? And that's one of them. You know, so where are you going to plug your car in, right? And is where you live capable? If it's a single family home, probably. If you live in a condominium, an apartment, something like that, will the capacity be there, right? Who's going to build it? Who's going to pay for it? And where are we getting the power? It was a disturbingly funny thing last year when we were so hot over the summer. And it was the day after the California Air Resources Board announced that they had finalized the regulations for 2035. And the day after that, they said, the grid is locked up. Don't plug in your electric car. It's like, do you people not talk to each other? We need to save power. Don't plug
in
your car.
I don't think they do.
So yeah, that's going to be an issue, right? And I've been asking that question of anybody that seems to have any knowledge or influence of it, and nobody has a real good answer for that. So I'm not sure where the power is going to come from, Carm.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's once leadership in California changes and they realize that it's not a realistic thing to, by 2035, to have only electric vehicles for sale. I think, like you said, I think things are going to change. My personal thought is, yes, the infrastructure isn't going to be ready. I just took a trip up to Pasadena on Tuesday for a meeting And it's pretty cool. The freeways that they started fixing when I was about 10 years old are finally finished. So, you know, that's kind of a sign of what's going to happen with our grid. It's going to take a while to get that into place and functioning. So,
John Gustafson, are you preparing your customers for the fact that you will continue with electric hybrids or not to be their preferred place to get their vehicle fixed?
Of course. They've come to know us after 52 years that we adapt. Whatever comes along, we're going to find a way to make it work. And we're ahead. In our training center, we have a smog check training. And one of the instructors recently got his class approved, and it was electric vehicle, I would say, intro to electric vehicle, which is safety and how the different systems work and how the grid's going to respond to it. And he's really pretty funny with it. It's a humorous presentation that he does. It's just, it's in time, and it's going to take a long time for people to get on board, the general technical technician population. It's going to just take them a while to get on board. It's going to have to come to them, and they're going to see a few and go, well, you know what? I better start learning about these. I'm really not concerned about it. It's just going to be a natural transition. It's not a huge deal.
We're smart enough to know, gentlemen, that EVs are an inevitable part of the future of transportation. And so will flying cars be, and I can't wait to have one someday.
Thanks, George Jetson.
Anyway, I digress for a moment there. I hope I live long enough to have one of those things. I will mortgage the house to get one of those. I will.
That's
tell
just
you
a
that.
Scary thought, Carm, flying cars.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of one the other day. Concept.
I hope so.
It's just a big drone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, guys? Oh, my God. How are we going to fix those? You fly them in the bay and you
breaks.
It goes broken.
Yeah, you just got to get a different kind of license. But, you know, all I keep thinking about, and we have been so hammered with this, and God, don't watch the news because that'll get you depressed. But mandate after mandate after mandate, I mean, it's almost like we've got this greatest warning sign ever that we need to fix and change our way of going to business. I'll never forget an episode a while back. There was a discussion on the future of EVs and what's it going to take to keep a successful shop open. And I don't know how many customers you would classify that you have in your database. Let's just say, John, you have 5,000 semi-active customers, John Epstein. And we continue to see the evolution of EVs, and there's going to be less kind of work than we would do on ICE engines. Do you have to have maybe 20,000 people in your database to make up the volume that you're currently doing? To me, that's the think we need to slowly have.
Yeah, I think we're going to need to, one, come up with, you know, more people that we can work with, work on their vehicles. And we need to put in good packages of the preventative maintenance and things like that. Having gone through that training recently, there's a lot of maintenance stuff that we talk about air conditioning and how we should service air conditioning every couple of years, but I'm going to say most shops don't really do that. And I think with the EV stuff, it's going to be even more important to do that. So, you know, we're going to just kind of need to look at things like that and figure out the common brakes and just kind of put stuff together so that we can handle that stuff and do those maintenance packages instead of just, hey, now it's take, you got to come in for an oil change every so often. Well, you know, now it's going to be, you know, just an inspection of the vehicle with some minor maintenance things and that we're going to have to put together, build into our systems and train our people on. And that's going to keep the cars coming in the door. I have a feeling that it's going to be sometime after I get out of the business before we have that huge swing in electric vehicles. We're going to see them. We've been seeing them. We service them. We've adapted just like anything else. But it's going to be a long time after I retire, I think, before it's that huge swing.
Hey, aren't you tired of being tired after a crazy day at the shop? Take the frustration out of your work by speeding up the processes that bog you down. Start a repair order based on a can job. Check. Order parts from a menu that includes every supplier within seconds. Check. Now send all that information with photos or videos to a customer via a live chat on their phone. What? No, I'm not kidding. Check that box. Get an approval faster than ever so you don't tie up a bay for hours. Check. Hey, it gets even better. Once they see the summary of work they need next time, they ask you to fix one or two more items today. Boom, that bill goes up and you make more. Then get this. They pay you on their phone before they even pick up their car. This could be your life, my friend. Talk to my friends at GetShopWare.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. Hey, Dave, what kind of work are you doing on EVs? Leave hybrids over here. It's a different kind of an animal. Yes, it's in the wheelhouse. But what kind of work are you doing on EVs?
Right now, very, very little, because most of them are still under warranty. So if there's a problem, it, you know, goes to the factory or to the dealer, right? So yeah, cabin air filters, you know, inspections. While there's a lot of things that aren't there, there's a lot of things that are there, right? That still need to make sure that they're safe and reliable. So even more so, we've always preached the message, but even more so since our experience with the pandemic where people weren't driving, it's like, we still need to see that car on a regular basis, at least once a year, right? To, you know, make sure the lights work, the wipers work, the horn works, right? Air the tires, because nobody airs their own tires, right? I mean, it's when, how often do you see that at the gas station, somebody's, you know, putting air in their tires. So all of these things are important safety maintenance items that we'll need to make sure that our customers and potential customers are aware of, and we still see them, right? Because first, we want to make sure they're safe, reliable. Second, we don't want them forgetting about us. You know, that's pretty common, if especially if it's somebody you've only seen once or twice already, and then all of a sudden they don't need to get the car serviced or repaired. And then when the need arises, they don't remember. So that staying in contact with our customer base on a consistent basis is even be more important than it is now. Yeah, and I think you're right, you know, that we are going to need more customers, because I think we'll see the cars less, but when we do, they'll be more expensive to fix. So I see our visit per customer dropping, but I see our, especially on EVs and others, I see our average repair order going up on those cars, because they, when they break, they'll be expensive, right? So, and two, before I forget, you know, our mandate in California, it doesn't say it has to be electric vehicle. It's just non-petroleum zero emission, right? So that's going to include fuel cell. There's a lot of research going on with internal combustion with hydrogen. So, you know, I'm not 100% convinced EV is the final answer, because you still, even if we get the infrastructure for charging, people still have range anxiety, right? Even though they're getting more better and better on the range of the vehicle, you just can't jump in the car from San Jose, drive to Disneyland, stop once for gas for 10 minutes and you know, have a potty break and get a Coke and then move on, right? There's planning on this. So unless and until we as a industry can overcome that, that's going to be a concern for a lot of people for a long time to come.
John G., do you think the whole mandate that we hear, that mandate word, does affect people's next car vehicle buying habit?
I'm sure they think about it, but in reality, right now, what are we up to? You said 8%. The 8% of the vehicle fleet is some sort of electric hybrid nationally, and both coasts are going to have the higher percentage than in the center, of course, like it always is. So in the garage business, we're going to see all the usual variety of ICE engines, hybrids, electrics, and the little 8% is going to be important. But if the rest of the fleet continues, and maybe we get the electrics up to 10%, maybe 12 someday, how long is it going to take to get even to 50%? So while there's concern, there's progress, but you know, we went from carburation and points to everything you've seen to date without really a big stress. It's just going to be a transition, and the progressive shops are going to just pay attention and learn as they go and do like we've always done. I don't think it's a big deal. I can't picture all the apartments in our town with a cord coming out the bathroom window, going out to the curb, keeping these cars plugged in overnight. They'll be switching cords and people will be stealing the power. I think the political part of it is going to pass. I think Epstein said that when the power changes, it's going to dilute it. And the auto manufacturers jumped on board because California has a pretty good buying power. And if they got 8% of the population driving battery cars, they've made some inroads. From a service standpoint, they still need wiper blades, tires, brakes, light bulbs, maintenance. Maybe you only see them once a year. But if it's 8 to 10% of your business and you see them once a year, if you do the right thing, you're going to have market share no matter what. There's plenty of cars to go around, and we're not competing with each other. It's the OE dealer, and they have their own reputation to defend.
Very good. I can only imagine, Dave, there's a word diagnostics in your company name. And I can imagine that EV diagnostics could be big. I mean, we could have a lot of time, labor rate stuff going on, just trying to figure out what could be wrong with a particular EV someday. So I look at this as, wow, bring it on. Can't wait for it to happen, but I got to pay attention. I got to have my SEO going right. Even if it's today, your customer still needs to know that you're going to fix that. I think in every piece of marketing, you get an EV that comes in your shop, take a picture, put it up on Facebook, and you got to start impressing upon your community and your customers that, if you will, EV hybrid friendly. And I think about that URL. I just recently spoke to a couple of people about, do you own the URL in your town called Campbell, California Hybrid Repair?
Not yet. But soon.
Campbell, California EV Repair. San Diego EV Repair. It was brilliant. EV Grand Rapids Hybrids, they bought that URL, Eric, years ago. So if you ever look on the web for hybrid repair in Grand Rapids, he's the number one position. And to me, I think the greatest thing to think about, we don't have a tsunami, guys. We really don't. We just have a little wave pool going here. And it will probably never be a tsunami if we pay attention right now.
Yeah. I mean, in California anyway, what, 35 million cars on the road right now? You know, the vast majority of them approaching 100% internal combustion. If we assume that, you know, with an average, I mean, the fleet across the country average age is approaching 12 years. And so I got to believe it's higher in California. You know, if we assume that nothing changes with this mandate and it goes into effect and January 1st, 2035, the only new car available in California is non-petroleum powered car, right? Then yeah, we'll see a incremental increase. I mean, I don't know how many cars get sold in California right now, but call it 5% of the fleet. In 20 years, it's 100%, right? Or less than 20 years. So, you know, so there is, you know, it's a window. It'll close slowly, but, you know, assuming nothing changes, right? The window is open. The window will keep staying open for the next 12 years, and then it's going to close slowly, right? Nobody says you can't own your gas-powered car. You can't sell your gas-powered car. You can't bring in a gas-powered car from out of state. I'm sure that we'll have more legislation, regulation that will make that more difficult as time goes by. The other hanging out there is, as the internal combustion fleet gets overtaken by zero emission cars, right? We'll need less gas stations, right? So what's that do to the availability price of gasoline, right? So again, I'm on the same page as John Gustafson, not afraid of this, but we have to prepare for it, right? If we don't go into it with our eyes wide open and keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening, it will catch us by surprise. So we need to make sure that we are staying ahead of the curve.
And those electric cars are not for everybody. Imagine, put your boat behind your Prius and try and get down to the lake. Try and load a dump truck full of 10 yards of gravel and get from the quarry to your project. It's just not going to happen on battery. There's going to be fossil fuel for, I want to say, darn near ever.
We have such an incredible evolution going on, especially the legislative side of this. Can you imagine, guys, and I'm not being political, and I'm just trying to state reality and fact, it is 12 years from now. It is 2035. And the mandate hits on Jan 1, 2035, and we just had a winter like this one, where now that 300-mile range goes to 150 because we got to heat the passengers. We have a grid issue, that we have a charging issue. And talk about trying to create chaos in an environment where transportation is how we live our life, how we get to places, how we do social, how we do work. And maybe there'll be more remote working than we even know. And that is another episode one day. It says, how are we going to handle the less miles that are being driven? So it's an exciting opportunity. Be a great business owner. Pay attention. Stay on the cutting edge of where technology is. Grow good culture, good training. And tell your customers that, you know, I know John, for example, Napa sells a home charger.
Yeah, they do. They've got a couple different ones. And they're real nice. And you got to, you know, have that professional electrician hook that thing up. It's not something that you're just plugging into your wall in a normal plug. You got to have an electrician come out.
Wouldn't that be cool if we hooked up with a couple of electricians in the area and say, listen, we're going to make these available to our customers. So we'll call you. You have a chance to quote on the job. And who would have thought ever someday that we'd be selling these units?
We also need to consider installing at least one in our shop, because that's going to be part of repairing these cars, right? Is, you know, if it comes in on empty, for lack of a better word, yeah. You know, you run it down to the gas station with a 5-gallon can to get some electrons. You got to plug that bad boy in.
Well, I have a case of D cells in the back.
Part of the equation too is we got to train our service advisors on, one, when that you get that phone call, to not be like, and then try to figure out how to respond to that. You know, it's got to be absolutely, we can help you with that. You got to kind of learn the language. They got to be able to get the trust of the customers that have the electric vehicles. And I've seen a lot of training for technicians and things like that. I have not seen a lot of training for service advisors and how to sell that stuff. And that's something that I've been kind of pushing the people that I've been talking to, that if the service advisors aren't comfortable with the job, they're not going to sell it. They're not going to look for it. They should be talking to customers and listening and, oh, Mrs. Jones, you're getting an EV. Well, that's great. You realize that we can take care of that for you. Those are just the little things that we need to do with our people. You know, the shuttle driver needs to know that, hey, we work on EVs, because when he's driving that customer home and that customer is talking about, yeah, I got to go pick up my, you know, I'm going to go get my Tesla and drive it to wherever. And, you know, you need to pick up on that and be able to, you know, convey that, hey, we are the experts in EVs and we can take care of that for you. So
I have a solution. You know me, guys, I'm an ideas guy. John, you just inspired me. So the service advisor says, EVs, we love them. I'm happy you bought one. You're still coming here for service. And then you got to, even though we may have a lack of service advisor training specifically on EVs, I think they got to go to technician training. I think they need to be right there to respect what needs to happen, some of the tips and tricks on how these repaired. And we know today that the trainers are not going to talk about repair as much as all the stuff that, to respect the electric, they're going to talk about the repairs that we know they can do. So the service advisor walks out with, oh, we can do this, we can do this, tires, no problem, front ends, no problem. We love EVs. And if we start saying that, we've cornered the market.
Yeah, our service advisors go to technical training. We don't send them to all the high level nitty gritty. How do you, you know, you trace a bus problem, you know, that sort of thing. But the EV stuff they've gone to, and they need to understand it at least a little bit. So I agree 100%.
Guys, thank you so much. Look, I want to just go around the horn here. We'll do last call on this episode. I know we're not going to fix the electric grid in California. I know we're not going to change the mandate for 2035, but what we are going to do is pay attention and be in this business and continue to run great, successful, profitable shops, no matter what they throw at us. So we'll do John G., we'll do John Epstein, and then Dave Kusa in that order. John G., any final thoughts?
As in everything, there's balance. And the EV is going to come in and something else is going to give. And it's really, everything has got to be in proportion. It'll be in balance. Right now, the government, the way they see it, it's out of balance, but that'll change.
Those are some pretty wise words, guys. I like that. I like that a lot. John, Epstein?
Yeah. You know, we just really need to pay attention to what's going on and what's going on in our businesses. I have a couple different locations and things are different in location one. Things are different in location two. We still need to grow, pay attention to your market, pay attention to what's going on in your shop. When NAPA comes in and they want to put a stock order in and they're going to go off of what sells in the town that's 50 miles away into your store, and it's not going to work. So it's the same with the stuff that's coming down the pike. Pay attention. You know, you might have a large abundance of hybrids in your area as opposed to the EVs. And so you might want to focus on that, but just paying attention to your market, paying attention to what comes in your doors, and you'll be fine. You just adapt. You know, we've all adapted as we've grown. I think everybody on this call has been in the business a very long time, and we've adapted many things along the way. So we just need to keep doing that.
Hey, Dave, before I get to you, John, I got to ask you a question about stock. Do you stock much from your supplier?
Yeah.
Okay. So here to me is always the trick for stock. If you're going to put rotors, you can put anything in that you would have a high tendency to serve in your marketplace. It's what you bought in the last year that should be equated to a formula that says, hey, my God, you do a ton of Camrys between these years. Let's put a pair of rotors and some pads on the shelf. It's not from the next town. It's not from the whole town. It's from Johnstown.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right. Perfect, my friend. Dave Coos, I'll let you wrap it up.
Interesting that just today we got a report from Jack Maladonoff, who's our legislative advocate here in California. In California, the Bureau of Automotive Repair regulates us, and we have what's called an ARD, an Automotive Repair Dealer License through the state. And from 2017 to present, there were 39,000 ARDs. Now there's 34,000 ARDs, right? So we're losing 1,000 a year or so, but the cars, we still have as many cars, right? So John hit it with adapt. One of my favorite sayings is adapt or become obsolete. So as we adapt to this, stay ahead of it, learn it, and those that don't are going to be the 1,000 a year that go away for whatever reason. Those people that used to go to those shops, those vehicle owners, still need somebody to fix their cars. So, you know, I anticipate that we'll start, that this will continue. I don't think we're going to gain. I don't think anybody's jumping into the automotive repair business going, woohoo, I'm going to make a fortune doing this. So, you know, I think we'll continue to see a decline in automotive repair dealers, auto repair shops, and a growth in the number of cars on the road. So, you know, that those of us that will adapt and not become obsolete, we'll see our bays fuller than we're used to.
We did an episode recently with Michael Smith, Brian Bates, and AJ Neely. And it was at a conference, the Institute Summit in St. Petersburg. And he got up on stage, did a keynote and talked about, we've always known that there were 250,000 shops in the U.S., but the number is like 127 now. And again, I don't know if he took out all the oil change places or not. But the fact of the matter is, to your point, Dave, it is shrinking. And yet, like in John's case, multi-store, and there's nothing like running a great business and seeking the opportunities that exist all around you. And I think maybe that's part of the theme of this episode. And about to lose 5,000 licenses in California in 5 years. Dave, that's interesting, but it also, it's the O word, the opportunity that exists for everyone else so that we're going to stay viable and profitable in there. Hey guys, thank you for your perspective on EVs, especially from your perspective in California. John Gustafson, Gustafson Brothers in Huntington Beach, California. John, thank you for being here. John Epstein, John's Automotive, San Diego, California, two stores down there. And Dave Coosa from Auto Trend Diagnostics, Campbell, California. Enlightening, fellas. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Carm. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.